Hello, listeners. You're once again very welcome to this, the podcast of the Irish Wood and Interiors Network. Don't forget to check us out on the web at www.iwin.ie. Today, I am delighted to be talking to Mr. Adrian Hovenden from Irish Manufacturing Research. Adrian is an industrial solutions architect and an Industry 4 maturity assessor. And today we're going to talk about Industry 4 and something called Siri assessment. So, Adrian, thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Great to be here, William, and glad to be able to share some insights from our experiences in IMR around Industry 4.0.
Perfect. Well, just to start off then, I think most of us, if not everybody, has heard of Industry 4, but what is it really?
Great question. And I think it's that question that many organizations are struggling with. But first of all, Industry 4, people think it's a new term. It's actually been bandied around for the last 10 years or so. And the most important thing, it's not a standard. Industry 4 is not a standard, but a kind of coming together of the emerging and the latest technologies that come on the market, including, and there's multiple ones, you know, robotics, AI, big data, cloud computing. And ultimately, it's driven by data and data availability that's coming on machines. And that has been also the foundations have been laid in the cost of how you get that data through lower cost of sensorization, lower cost of silica. Like the cost of compute power has drastically reduced in the last 10, 20 years since when it came out first. And again, also the availability of storage, cloud computing and cloud storage as well, where to store all the data. So the center of Industry 4 is really focused on data, how you actually can capture it, how you actually use it, and then how you visualize it. There is the other technologies when it comes to robotics, artificial intelligence, and another sources, another technologies. There's about 30 odd actually technologies that support Industry 4.0. But the common trend through them all is data. And through people think of Industry 4 purely as robotics, you know, and again, it's not, it's only part of the process when it comes to technology. But it does help solve the problem around labor. And again, robotics and automation have been around since the early 70s. So again, to say that's new is probably a misnomer as well. But how robotics and automation has been used is changing in the recent years through easier programming of robotics and automation, but also simpler, quicker deployment and flexibility in production systems. And again, robotics is not, it shouldn't just be, you know, centered around what we consider the discrete automation processes, physically doing something. There's big opportunity to be got in robotic process automation. So the automation of data analysis or systems through a process, systems through a factory or an organization, including you know, enterprise systems or manufacturing execution systems, big opportunities there as well. So while, you know, it covers a lot, and sometimes people can view Industry 4.0 as just a marketing term, and if you want to be cynical about it, that's potentially what it is, you know, over the last 10 years. But get under the hood, look at the technology, and then see how that's implemented in a business that's relevant to yourselves. You know, it's not everything, and it's not a, I say, it's not a standard, but it's a suite of opportunities as such based on technology.
Okay, well, it's interesting what you're saying, that it's not just robots or roboticization, would that be the correct word, that it's broader and that it's about data? Because I think, as you say, there is a perception that the robots are coming in and they're taking the repetitive or manual jobs, you know, but it's interesting that it's broader. But just, and you've touched on this question somewhat, But how can Industry 4 benefit an organization? And then following on from that, is Industry 4 relevant to all organizations, regardless of their size and industry sector, or does it fit better with some or other, you know, that kind of way?
Industry 4, how it can benefit an organization, it's really looking at improved efficiencies, increased productivity through automation and the use of robotics to actually improve production processes and the need for manual labor. And again, I wouldn't be scared of, you know, reducing manual labor in an organization, because the opportunity from automation is seen changing from a business opportunity that was optional almost to a business critical need at the moment. Personally, in the last 18 to 24 months, we've seen that through COVID, where people were struggling with maybe resources in organizations and finding that need to expand, that, okay, we need to automate some of the processes just to keep the doors open and to grow a business. So automation is an opportunity for organizations as opposed to a fear of maybe replacing their losing jobs. But so when you're looking at increased efficiency, along with that, you're going to get increased productivity, but greater flexibility and also enhanced quality. Because, you know, when you're looking at a task that can be repetitively done consistently all the time, you can get improved quality. And again, that improves impact to an organization as well. Reducing cost, again, a critical opportunity for organizations where Industry 4.0. And again, potentially innovation. You know, where can you look as an organization in the future? What new products could you develop? Improvements can you make in your existing products by offering better customization, being able to respond quicker to market needs and market trends? That's an opportunity that Industry 4 will bring through, whether it be automating the actual process itself or the design process, and the innovation process and the lead time into new product development can be reduced with the use of Industry 4, because you'll hear terms of, you know, digital twin. A digital twin, again, is another example of using data to simulate and to visualize an offline what a production process is. So you're doing it in a virtual or digital world, and you're able to say, well, if this happens, how does this affect my production environment? So that's a really, one of the critical developments around Industry 4 is, you know, you're simulating something that could happen, and then you can make business decisions on that simulation as well.
So just given that Industry 4 is not only, say, robotics, but it's data as well, then you could say that it's beneficial to organizations large and small.
Oh, absolutely. So regardless of size of organization, from SME to large indigenous and large multinational companies, there is opportunities for Industry 4.0 technologies and frameworks to be deployed across every size, you know, and the will. And we've seen the benefits in smaller companies, really, because when you take a small SME, everyone is doing multiple jobs. You know, there isn't a specific role for an individual, you know, particularly in the leadership team and the management team in organizations, that there you quite often you could see an owner writing delivery dockets in the evening, you know, to get products out the door in the small company. So, you know, how do you digitize that process? So that's as much about, you know, discrete automation as around digitization of a system. So you're not duplicating data entries for workflows, that create the data once and it's processed through the organization, and then, you know, the invoicing and the delivery is all done automated behind it. And that relieves certainly pressure within an SME of doing mundane work for the owners and for the the management team. And again, that's an example in an SME. But if you take it for a mid-size or larger companies, you know, it is about reducing those repetitive tasks, whether it's data driven or whether it's discrete automation or discrete tasks in a production environment. The opportunities exist as much as anyone. And again, you know, a senior leader freeing up 10% of their time and a senior management can be as much as productive as freeing up the opportunity from 100% of someone doing a manual task on the production floor, you know, whether that be, you know, one of the great examples I've seen that's relevant to maybe the woodworking industry is, you know, sanding, very much a repetitive task. That's great if you're doing flat panels, but what do you want to do, a nice curved surface or an edge? There is automation out there at the moment that's able to look at visualize what's in front of it and then automate the process of sanding or polishing of the surface after that, you know. So, and again, the opportunities can be endless, but I suppose cost is a big consideration.
Okay, we'll get on to talk about cost, but just before that, maybe you might say, tell us, how can we implement Industry 4? I mean, we're in the woodworking business. How can we go about implementing Industry 4?
Indeed, and that's the challenge where we in IMR have been trying to answer for the last 3-4 years. You know, it's like someone being lost at sea, and to hear all these buzzwords around them, oh, you need to do robotics, or you need to implement an ERP system, or you need to use AI to actually make decision-making within your business. So we see ourselves as being that little lighthouse on the shore to try and help companies in a certain direction or advise them on certain opportunities. And we use a tool, a framework called SIRI, which is Smart Industry Readiness Index. And it's a tool that was developed in Singapore by the Enterprise Development Board out there. And it's a benchmarking tool for Industry 4 and digitization that's used globally and supported by the World Economic Forum. So there's about 1,200 organizations have taken what we call a SIRI assessment, and across from SMEs to large multinationals and multiple different industries as well, from pharmaceutical to general manufacturing, woodworking, food and beverage, across the globe. And what it does, it really helps companies identify where Industry 4 technology fits their business and will drive impact in their business, because we don't focus on the technology during a SIRI assessment. It's an on-site assessment where we first look at your process, you know, your vertical integration, how you actually get products through your factory floor. What's your supply chain? How digitized is that? Is there opportunities there around the digitization? Then we look at the technology, you know, that's available that could potentially help. But ultimately, where the biggest wins is coming around the organization, you know, where we kind of help companies assess where they are in their learning development, their strategy, have the strategy in place, have the a plan in place, have the competency as well to understand what Industry 4 can bring and the opportunities that it will have within their organization to drive that impact. And we look at cost cap drivers within an organization, you know, because that's ultimately, and we can be crass, I suppose, about saying, you know, you're making furniture, you're making different wood interiors, or whether you're making food or whether you're making semiconductors, ultimately you're making euros, you know, and how you do it is it does change. But we all want to be profitable within any manufacturing organization. So it's important that we look at impact is measured in probably in euro return back to business. And that's why you can't ignore the financial costs within an industry. And fine, you can take on a vanity project and say, yeah, I'm going to put a machine in there without having to look at, you know, ROI just for the sake of technology because I want to automate it. But where are the real cost drivers in your business? Is it manufacturing? Is it material? You know, is it your administrative costs, your administrative burden to actually get an order through of your facility? So with Siri, we look at the areas where that impact is going to be greatest. And it surprises an organization to say, well, actually, no, just putting in a robot to partly help someone on a production floor is not going to drive the impact you need. You're better off looking at your administrative processes where you're duplicating multiple stages of your work and not getting a good production flow, a good order flow through your factory. So, and that's where, for want of a better word, an ERP or an MES system would help to structure that a bit more better and get more output and better better impact for your business. But it is, the change has to come from the leadership organization. The technology itself is not going to drive transformation within the business. It's an enabler. And that's where the organization needs to drive it, because it's about the people, the cultural challenge as much as anything else. And Siri is a process, as I say, that we've done that helps identify those opportunities where that's going to drive that impact and make ultimately better business decisions for you. Yeah.
Okay, just a couple of points on what you're saying. The first one is that in terms of technology, there's plenty of people out there who'll tell you that, you know, technology will make everything marvelous and it'll improve your business and it'll do this, that and the other. But fundamentally, technology, as you've just said, is an enabler and it is a tool. And unless it's used and implemented as it's supposed to be, then it's basically, or as the man says, if you have a machine, you don't plug it in. All it is a glorified desk or lamp, or, you know, it's not going to do anything or function. And just the second thing is, in listening to what you're saying, there's sort of an element of crossover in terms of lean manufacturing as well.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. We would always say, if you look at any digital process, and if an organization hasn't gone through a lean evaluation beforehand, it's not worth digitizing, because all you're doing, if you digitize a poor process, all you're going to get is a poorly digitized process. You know, so really, the first stage we would always recommend, look at your process, simplify your process, lean your process, and bring, before you actually digitize it, keep your processes simple and then you digitize it. Now, I suppose lean itself has had some challenges over the last 2 years with supply chain issues, and there, you know, the principle of keeping your stock levels low, keeping the inventory low, in challenging supply chains where people are looking, well, no, we need to, for continuity, we need to increase our stock levels, we need to increase our WIP. But the fundamentals of lean don't change, you know, and they're still important. And if you can keep your process simple, it's easier to actually digitize. And again, it's something we would always recommend. If someone is looking at digitizing a process or using data to digitize a process, don't try and buy a customized, whether it be an ERP system or something that needs to be changed to meet your requirements. Try and change your process as much as possible to meet the standard off-the-shelf solution that's available for your organization, because every time you go to make an update or make a change, you're customizing a customized solution as well, so that's ultimately is going to cost you more money. So certainly lean is a the starting point before you digitize it, any process.
Okay, well, we have kind of touched on, you know, what does a Siri assessment entail, but just from your point of view, and maybe for listeners, on a nuts and bolts level, I mean, what happens? Do you go directly to the factory and look at it, or do you send somebody in first, or do you talk to them over the phone, or what's the kind of process there?
So it's a three-stage process. Stage one is a virtual call over on Teams or Zoom, where we would do a call where we just set the scene of what we're going to do during an assessment. And that's just an onboarding process where we set up, try and get your cost categories together, make sure you have the senior leadership team keyed up. Stage two is that assessment process. And that is an on-site assessment where trained assessors, as an assessor, we go through an official assessment process. So, and that's important because there's global benchmarking data is used to help identify the impact areas. And we need to be able to compare apples and apples. Yeah, and that's why whether you do a SIRI assessment in Asia or in Europe and America, it's particularly the same process. And that is really critical to the SIRI assessment. So the assessment itself is 2 days, typically on site with a senior leadership team, where we would do a walkthrough of the facility, but we also sit in a workshop environment or a boardroom where we present what we call dimensions, 16 dimensions. And they are 16 dimensions based around, like I said before, process, technology, and organization. And across those 16 dimensions, we facilitate scoring from a 0 to a 5. Now, it's not a finger in the air to say, oh, I'm a 1 or 2. It's very much, we give clear definition and guidelines to what that scoring is. And that is really setting your baseline. And the important thing too is, you know, we're not there to audit. People think of, oh, we're here to be critical or be all, and some companies will try and achieve the best score, but it's really to help you identify where the gaps and the opportunities are and where digitization can help. So that's a 2-day process where we get your picture where you are today. And because that's important, because if you want to start somewhere, you need to have that starting point. You know, so that creates that baseline, that starting point. Then we as IMR take that data along with your scoring of the 16 dimensions, the cost profiles. But we also ask you, we present you with 14 KPIs, which are important, and they're based around flexibility, efficiency, quality, time to market. And they're 14 critical KPIs, but we ask you to prioritize 5 of these, because this, again, there's such many opportunities out there from Industry 4, but again, you need to prioritize. What do I start on first? Where do I start? So applying that focus gives us an insight to an organization to say, well, actually, no, we're really focused on efficiency. It's efficiency, efficiency. Or no, I'm more interested in quality, quality, quality. So once an organization picks those 5 KPIs, we take that information and we have an algorithm in the background that defines of the 16 dimensions that we measure under, that you can highlight. We pick 4, or it identifies 4 that are going to drive greatest impact with the organization. And as IMR, we take the next step then, where SIRI can kind of stop at that, but we take a next step where we say, right, you need to improve your process around automation, shop floor automation. Okay, what does that mean for you as company A? And here are really some specific examples where automation could help you. Or here's an example where you need to improve your training and your learning and development within an organization to help upskill your staff. So we point you in the start of a roadmap as such, you know, and lay out those a path of capabilities of what you could do, you know, tomorrow, but sustaining in the next 3-4 years, 5 years, because, you know, Industry 4 and digitization is not a project. It's a strategy. And that's important, that you actually look at this as, it's not just going to be, I'm going to do this project and I'm going to be solved. No, it's a much bigger, how does this grow over the next multiple years? It's a year on year on strategy. And that's part of, you know, at that 2-day assessment, you come to that. And we'll come back, you know, stage three is where we present you with the results in a report format to say, here's how you actually, here's our insights from our visit and the recommendations you make.
Okay, just a couple of things on that in terms of getting the baseline, and you're saying that businesses might want to sort of up the ante just to, when during the assessment they're kind of better off getting a realistic and genuine baseline to work off of when you come in. But just secondly, in relation to the 14 KPIs, something that's come to me is I'm wondering, and you say it's a process. So could we start with, say, we'll do 4 or 5 of the KPIs, and then in 2, 3 years or 5 years, we'll try and get to the next one? Or, you know, is it that kind of a process that you try to get through lots of points, or is there only certain ones that apply to each business? I don't know if that makes sense to you.
It does. So with the KPIs, it helps inform the strategy. So we will come back with maybe 4 top level subjects, you know, whether it be, like I mentioned, shop floor automation, and then we'll distill that down into 1 or 2 real distinct points for the relative business. And there is no need to say you need to start all 10 recommendations today, you know. And even for some companies, we look at, well, what is the capability within an organization to be able to do take on a transformation project or transformation role? And we'll say, look, start here, start first. It's an incremental basis, you know. So if you try and solve it all in one go, it won't work, you know. So you pick what's right for your organization, and we do lay it out: do this first, try this, then try that next, you know. So it's very much a 2, 3, 4, 5 year plan that you can lay out, and that becomes agile as well. You know, it's very much a strategy, as opposed to here's you need to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and you get to where you want. No, it's here's some indication where you need to go, and then you can adapt as you go down that journey. You might decide to do take a different journey in a certain automation point of view, or a digitization project. You might look at that differently, because, you know, it is about providing those business insights as well, which if you can around data, and that can change as people start on a journey around transformation.
Okay, well, no, that's what I was wondering, kind of if it's a step sort of a system that you can add on to, but I think you've kind of answered that. But just in relation to barriers for adopting Industry 4, like what kind of barriers would there be for a business in adopting Industry 4?
Yeah, and that's a very relevant question. I suppose high implementation costs can be a challenge. You know, it's automation itself can vary in the level of difficulty and the investment needed. So quite often you can do little proof of principles and concepts to actually look at a particular problem statement or how that can affect the business. But then when you want to go to scale that, if you want to drive real transformation, that's when some cost, higher costs can come in. So that's really, ROI is a certainly a factor. But if you can look at the ROI in the over a period of time and look at the justification costs, it can be justified, whether it be for software or hardware. I think one of the bigger challenges or barriers is skilled shortage. Because, you know, when it comes to Industry 4 and digitization, if you have the capability in-house to actually do self-implementation projects, great, your investment cost can be lower, but you need to invest in skills, whether it be around automation or just digitization. And even when you're looking at rolling out digitization across a production environment, it's not just the skill shortage of the implementators or the people who are the engineers who are designing it. You need to bring on your workforce, the operator, and the people who are interacting with the systems that you're building and implementing. And that's a fear and a barrier, but it's one of the ones that's been certainly addressed when it comes to education and occupational education that's available through multiple different centers to actually help identify and help upskill the current workforce, because there's a terminology there, operator of the future, No, what does the operator of the future look like? Certainly, it is around, you know, to be able to interact quite easily with the digital technologies that's going to be coming at them in the future. So, I think, and again, resistance to change, you know, that is another barrier to Industry 4 adoption. And again, people don't like change at times, you know, and that's critical to any transformation strategy, you know, and Industry 4 or digitalization is a strategy, and how that has to be managed to change management within the organization, and fear among maybe a labor force that this could impact them negatively, so that, you know, to remove that fear is important, and how you manage that change again is important to break that down so it doesn't become a barrier, you know.
Okay, just on that point, well, a couple of points there. The first one is that, you know, say we're going to adopt Industry 4 and we get all these machines in and computers and all the rest of it. I think you're making the point there then that we need the operators to be trained to use them. So, which goes to the point as well about should people be worried about jobs? I mean, is this digitization and roboticization, is it going to ultimately cost jobs, or will those jobs in fact just become different? They will look different, those jobs, if you know what I mean.
I think that your term to look different is the critical term. And that is a big fear, certainly when people think of automation and robots. The robots are going to take our jobs. Ultimately, people are being deployed in other organizations or other roles within an organization. And we find, and there's a history of automation being implemented well before Industry 4 came along board, you know, in Irish manufacturing. And ultimately the workforce has grown, and organizations need to grow. And technology is about assisting an organization become more competitive and grow. And when an organization grows, people's jobs are more sustainable and can help the greater organization be resilient in changing times, because we got to acknowledge that Ireland is no longer a low-cost environment when it comes to manufacturing. You know, so we're looking at the skills that we have, but then how can automation and digitization help with those repetitive and mundane tasks? And I said before, you know, it's not just about the discrete tasks, but it's about, you know, repetitive tasks when it comes to administrative process as well. And that's important. So ultimately, we've seen organizations grow when they introduce automation. And when automation is there, that growth gives them the ability to respond to new opportunities quicker. Then suddenly, there's an opportunity here for a new project or a new product, but I can't deliver on it because I don't have the people. But automation actually frees that up to actually build in capacity to actually chase those new opportunities. And that's important. And as a company grow, everyone benefits then.
Okay, well, we've touched on the next subject a couple of times, and you said it's a bit crass when we start talking about euros, but just in that relation, I mean, how do I go about getting an assessment? Is there a cost to it? Are there any grants available towards implementation, for example?
Great. Yes. So the Siri assessment itself, there is a cost. It does vary from the size of the organization based on the level, but typically it ranges from around 13K to up to maybe 15 or 16,000 euro to do an assessment. And then the real attractiveness, I suppose, to an SME is there is grants available through Enterprise Ireland for digitization for the initial process itself. There is a voucher there that would help assist it in the nature of 5K towards that assessment. But ultimately, state bodies and particularly Enterprise Ireland itself, they're very keen to see companies adopt digital technologies. And not just from doing an initial assessment, but there is a grant aid available to organizations to help deploy digital technologies as well once it's identified. And what I would always advise any organization is talk to either your local enterprise office or if you're an Enterprise Ireland client, you know, to look at your local development advisor, and they will advise you of what's available when it comes to digitalization grants. But there is a real impetus with the government agencies to help companies digitize, you know, because as I said, it's changing from a business opportunity to a business critical need, and that's what's coming down the horizon.
Okay, well, lastly, maybe just sort of what sort of insights from Irish industry have you seen for the Siri assessments that you've completed to date?
So as we've completed 35 assessments across multiple different industries, from food and beverage to medical device, general manufacturing, metal fabrication, construction companies, and all from an SMEs to multinationals. So a wide variance. So we've got a really broad view. And actually in those assessments, we would have met with approximately 450 senior leadership and owner managers within an organization. So it's a real heartbeat of manufacturing is what we've touched on. And ultimately, what we've seen, there is a willingness to change and organizations want to adopt the technologies. What we've seen then is the companies are worried about skills and skills shortage. And I think I've mentioned that before, but skills and skills development is critical to actually deploying it. But also, it's a strategy. It is a strategy. It's not a project. It's not something that you can just give to one person to say, right, you're going to implement an industry for digitalization strategy within the organization. It's a cross-functional team that's needed within the organization of all areas, from financial to operations to engineering, that's needed to actually roll an industry for strategy out. But it is companies are keen to adopt, and they're ready to adopt industry for transformation initiatives.
Adrian, I'm terribly sorry, but I thought that was going to be the last question, but I'm going to ask you just one more question, if I may, which is I have seen Industry 5, you know, in some places. And what I'm wondering for the listeners is, you know, are we on Industry 4? And by the time you do these assessments and that gets us up to speed on Industry 4, and then suddenly we're on to Industry 5. I mean, where is the end of all this, or what is Industry 5?
Excellent question. And again, we got to remember, this is all terminology. Some companies are struggling even to adapt Industry 3, which was considered just general automation first. And Industry 5 is not, it's a new term that has come out over the last two or three years. Certainly has come from the EU and the Commission and the European Commission, where there's a cohort that maybe believe that Industry 4.0 and digitalization has failed as a project and as an initiative. And that's because Industry 4 focused initially on technology. But you can see from our early conversation, you know, it's not just technology. It is, you have to have people in it. And Industry 5 is bringing people back into the conversation, that the technology on its own is just an enabler. People are central to any manufacturing process. And also in that equation is sustainability as well, and including circular economy. So Industry 5 brings in two new objectives, I suppose, people, sustainability in the environment, and as part of the technology. And again, it's important to say that Industry 5 is not something that is consecutive to Industry 4.0, that you do Industry 4 and then you do Industry 5. No, it's something that is going to be run concurrent with your transformation initiative. And I would say it's actually imperative when it comes to Industry 4 transformation that you consider people. Whether you call it Industry 5.0 or not, that's irrelevant. You just ensure your people are part of the process.
Okay, well, perfect. Thank you very much for that, Adrian. I think we'll leave it there on Industry 5 because we started out at 4, and just in case we go too far down the road. Mm-hmm. So I have to say, Adrian Hovenden of Irish Manufacturing Research, thank you so much for talking to me today. I really appreciate it.